March 16th, Hashkafa in the morning. We're taking up some issues pertaining to the Haggadah and the famous Manishtana. According to the Rambam, the Manishtana is not the four questions. Because the way he brings it down, he says, V'chan ha-ben Joel, that after the Karpas, the purpose of the Karpas is really to trigger the question of the child. Because the mitzvah of v'higar t'levincha, that you shall teach it to your son on that night, that's part of the mitzvah of Sipur. That's incorporated into the mitzvah of Sipur. And it has to be done, of course, in accordance with the intellectual ability of the son, according to the intelligence of the son, as we learned yesterday, the Rambam points out. So that's not a simple mitzvah to perform. I mean, the parent basically is being called upon to become an educator on this night, to transfer the foundations of Judaism, which goes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Exodus from Egypt is the foundation. And he's got to do so. In doing so, it also expresses the educational philosophy of the Torah. The Torah has an educational philosophy. And the educational philosophy, of course, it has to be in accordance with the level of the child. That seems to be a rather simple point. But more than that, it's to arouse curiosity. That's a very significant element that the child should ask. Thus, engaging the child, getting him to ask questions, and the teaching is in response to the questions of the individual. That's a very significant idea. That is, lecturing to someone is not really the correct tool. Because the person doesn't really learn anything until he's engaged. And most learning is done when the person has questions. And these are the answers to his questions. So the Rambam learns that Karpas is supposed to trigger the question. That's why there's two aspects to the Karpas. There is the objective. The objective aspect of the Karpas is the eating of the vegetable. But that is not complete until you remove the plate. Actually, in those days, each person had his own little table. But today we have one table, and there's the so-called Seder plate in front of the reader or the leader. And after the karpas, after the eating of the vegetable, you're supposed to remove the plate because that's supposed to get his attention. It presupposes that somebody is paying attention. He's attentive and he's not afraid to ask questions. And the Rambam goes further and says that you're supposed to, that these are the objective changes in order to stimulate. But a person's supposed to be creative. He says they would grab matzah one from the other to get the attention and ask. So the child should be curious. What's going on over here? Why are we doing this? And then you get him involved in the discussion. So then he says, the Rambam says, that afterwards the kore, the reader, reads the, it's according to him, it's not the four questions. They're basically declarations that the night is different, that this night is unique. It is said in response, according to the Rambam, to the questions of the child. That is, you've aroused his curiosity about that this night is different, there's something unusual going on. And then you begin by before you get into the reasons and what happened this night, you first tell them about the qualities of the night, the mitzvos of the night. So let's go through the Manishtana. Everybody calls it the four questions, but as I said, according to the Rambam, it's not questions. It's basically a delineation of the uniqueness of the night. You want them to know that this night is special. All right, so let's go through the four, and then we'll see what questions we have. All nights, Anu Ochlim Chametzu Matzah. Halayla Hazeh, Kulo Matzah. So what does that contain? What does that contain? Of course, the first one is the mitzvah of of matzah, that on all nights we can eat. Basically, ochlin doesn't mean we do eat. It means that there's no restrictions. There's no restrictions with regard to what we can eat or what we can't eat. It's a very, very significant point is being made right here. What's the significant point that's being made? This is the only time of the year that we have restrictions with regard to what we can eat and what we can't eat. That is, of course you can say that we can't eat pork and things like that, but that's general. That's not because of the night. That has nothing to do with the night. That's generic. So the fact of the matter is that we are restricted from certain foods, but those, whatever we're restricted from is universal. It applies all the time as far as we're concerned. And of course, there's nights when you're not permitted to eat at all. That's like a fast, Yom Kippur. And the only other fast which would affect us at night would be Tisha B'Av. That's not the point. But on all other nights, when it is permitted to eat, so then there's nothing really specific. We don't have any particulars in that respect. This is the only time of the year when we have specific. That is, something which is ordinarily permitted is prohibited. It doesn't mention the prohibition directly, interestingly enough. So let me ask you a question then. If the first, I'm going to refer to it as questions. When I do so, in spite of the fact that the Rambam doesn't treat it as questions, I'm just using the term generically. It's a generic expression. Why, if the first question is focusing on the fact of matzah, why does it mention chametz? That on all other nights we eat chametz u'matzah, and tonight only matzah. Kulo matzah. Kulo matzah. The term kulo matzah apparently means that we're obligated to eat matzah. But it does it? What about the fact that we can't eat chametz? I'm reading to you from the Chasam Sofer. He says, "Einu shor la latzam chiyav achilas matzah." He's not asking about the, obviously he treats it as a question, about the basic chiyav to eat matzah. Shezek kvar hodanu b'kahol achma'anya. That already has been established when we said halach ma'anya. The achal b'avasana b'yardim Mitzrayim. I'm not sure. He says, "V'hainu sham mitzrim hechilu as avosenu b'lechem matzah, she'eno mis'akel maher." He has a commentary that the Egyptians fed our fathers the bread of matzah, which is not quickly digested. El shelafize daylanu amnochal k'zayis matzah l'zecher. So he's saying that, according to this, it would be enough just to eat a kezayis matzah just as a zecher from the halach manya. Mibli shetei aser achilas chametz. It wouldn't be necessary to have an iser chametz. Ulechem shor al tam iser achilas chametz. Yeah, he's saying that he's really asking about the reason for the iser of eating chametz. Sharei af kashayinu avadim. Because even when we were slaves, mi shehesiga yado lechem chametz hayochlo. Yeah, when we were slaves, it doesn't mean they only ate matzah. V'imkein madu halayla zeh kulo matzah. If so, why is this night kulo matzah? Only matzah. That is, he's saying that halayla zeh kulo matzah means, in the simplest sense, it means only matzah. So he's really highlighting the prohibition of chametz. Well, let's compare this to the second question. Shabchal leos anu ochlim shar yirakos. On all of the nights, we can eat the different vegetables. Halayla zeh, well, there's in parentheses, some have kulo moror, so it's pretty much the same. And some have moro. What is the second point? Here you don't have the prohibition of shaar yarakos. You could eat different vegetables, but you must eat maror. But if the question is why are we eating maror? So what does that have to do with the? Who cares about the other vegetables? What's the relevance of the other vegetables? The Ritva has a very interesting pshat, and he learns this way: Shebechol halelos betchilas udasenu. He says that on all the nights at the beginning of the meal, anu ochlim shaar yarakos. He's saying not that we can, but generally we do. Matukim, sweet ones, you know, pleasant vegetables. Shemachshirin es ha'adam lachila, that prepare the palate. So people that have like salads, they have not bitter. It's pleasant in order to. It's an appetizer, so to speak, to stimulate the appetite. Ulam halayla zeh anu osim tchila sudasenu maror. However, tonight we render the beginning of our suuda with maror. I think the first question, getting back to the first question pertains to the manner. It all revolves around the kedushas halayla, the holiness of the night, and the manner in which this night is different. Of course, a significant aspect is what we said, is the fact that it manifests itself in terms of what we're eating. So, first and foremost, the matzah, the mitzvah, that's a mitzvah. But in highlighting that, there's two aspects to the mitzvah of matzah. One is the mitzvah of matzah per se. But in addition, closely connected to that, is the prohibition of chametz. The two are interconnected. And the question is, because that's what he's bringing in. That is to say, ordinarily, we can eat chametz or matzah. Okay? Tonight, it's not enough to say, but tonight we must eat matzah. That's not the point. We must eat matzah, and we can't eat chametz. That's the point. But the question is, why is it necessary to make it that way? Why not simply say that tonight we must eat matzah? The prohibition of chametz is very much connected to the mitzvah of matzah. And chametz is the antithesis of matzah. And as we learn later on, matzah really represents the geula. Because later on when we explain the tam of the mitzvah, matzah zusha anu ochlin al shema, let's take a look at that for a second. When we're, I'm Rabbi Gamliel Hayomer. That's a very important part of the Haggadah, where you have to explain the basic reasons for the various mitzvahs of the night. The reason for the Pesach, the matzah, and the maror. So here, the matzah, zu she'anu ochlam al shema, al shem shlo hispik b'tzekam shlo v'sein al hachmetz, ad she'n nigla alei ha'melech malchei ha'mlachem ha'kadosh baruch hu uga'olam. Now the Rambam adds, and the Rav in the Ha'arei Kedem gives an explanation. I'll remind me to come back to that. That you should add the word uga'olam miyad. And he redeemed them immediately. Shenemer vayofu es habatzek asher otzim mitzrayim ugos matzos kilo chametz. That they baked the dough, ugos matzos, cakes of matzah, kilo chametz, gedin leaven, kigoshim mitzrayim, v'lo yachlus mameya, v'gam tzedel osu lam. The Rebbe's point makes a lot of sense. That we're not just, it doesn't just represent the Geula, matzah represents the geula, but another aspect of it, that it happened quickly. The immediacy, the speed, that's the miyad factor. That it happened so quickly that there wasn't enough time for the bread, for the dough to leaven. So matzah is the idea, represents the idea of the geula. The Rav goes on at length on that point, but I'm not going to go into that right now. So the chametz, basically, looking at it from the standpoint of the ideas, is the negation. I mean, it has the significance. The reason why the mitzvah of matzah is so important, and the reason why the prohibition of chametz, the person that eats chametz on Pesach, it's I believe it's an issakares to eat chametz. What's the signification? Just like in the same way that the abstention from work on Shabbos has a significance. It's proclaiming that God is the creator. And to the contrary, a person therefore who does work on Shabbos is denying that God is the creator. That's the significance. So he's saying the world is just a matter of chance. There is no creation. In the same vein over here, the significance of Pesach is the miracles that God wrought, which the Ramban explains. They're all proof that God created the world. Yesh Me'ayin. So that's another dimension of the creation, that God is the creator, but more than that, God is the creator, but God is the master of the universe, and that God created it, Yesh Me'ayin, and thus miracles are possible. That's the way, basically, I'm doing it b'kitzur, that's how the Ramban explains. That's why these miracles have such tremendous significance, because that was the whole purpose. It was to refute the false claims of those who maintain that God really has no control over the universe. And therefore, whatever happens, happens because of other causes. Thus, it's not enough to mention the fact that you have to eat matzah. That's part of it. But the whole idea of matzah is significant. Chag HaMatzos, as it's referred to as the Chag HaMatzos. And how does it become the Chag HaMatzos? If you merely had to eat matzah, but you could also eat chametz, it wouldn't be the Chag HaMatzos. What gives it the significance is that the chametz is prohibited, and the only thing that we're permitted to eat is matzah. So that's a completely different phenomenon. That's two separate ideas. In other words, if it were possible to eat chametz, except you had to eat matzah also, so then it wouldn't have that significance. Now, for example, I mean, on a Yom Tov, it's a mitzvah to eat meat, to rejoice, but you could eat other things as well. You could have fish, you could have all kinds of other things, just make sure you eat a kazayas of basar. So it doesn't have the same significance. But that's the idea, in my opinion, that it's talking about the signification. What's the reason for the signification of the matzah, the role that matzah plays? And in doing that, you have to make mention of the fact that it's exclusively matzah, the exclusiveness of the matzah. And the exclusiveness of the matzah is connected to the prohibition of chametz, obviously. What makes it exclusive is the fact that the chametz is prohibited. So that's unlike any other night in that respect. Interestingly enough, with regard to mara, you don't have that phenomenon. That is, the mitzvah of mara doesn't preclude other vegetables. It's not in the same... The relationship between mara and other vegetables is not like the relationship of a matzah to chametz. As we said, there's a relationship between the two. And you can't have matzah without prohibiting chametz. So that's why that's essential to the question, or to the idea, according to the Rambam. And because that's part of the Kedusha of the Laila, to elevate matzah. Well, why? Why is matzah elevated to this status? That it is exclusive, and creates prohibition. It creates prohibition of chametz. What about the maror though? It doesn't create prohibition. There's no prohibition to eat other vegetables. You see, each one has to have something that highlights it. According to the Ritva, it's very, very good, because It doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this? That's the real question. We're doing something which is completely different that we normally would not do. So here, with regard to the maror, it's not necessary to prohibit other vegetables. That certainly wasn't, it doesn't have the same relationship anyways, and it's not the idea. The mara, of course, is to remember the bitterness. So to make it something which is pronounced, it's something which is different. And that is, it's beautiful according to the Ritva. Because, okay, I mean, we're not saying that you wouldn't eat these bitter herbs. But he says you wouldn't eat it over here. It's completely out of place. This is the time when a person is eating pleasant appetizers, vegetables, things that would stimulate the appetite. So here you're doing something which is completely contrary. So that is where it really gets your attention. The fact that the moror comes into the picture in a place where it's completely out of place. It's not the beginning of a meal. So that expresses the that's the question. Well, what's the reason for that? That's why that makes an impact. That makes an impact, and it's you know, part of the uniqueness of the night. Differentiates the night from other nights. Because we're doing something which is counterintuitive. It's contrary to the nature of things. Which again, were it merely that we have to eat a bitter herb, that would be a different question. Then you simply say, why do we have to eat a bitter herb? But it's more than just that. It's a whole arrangement. It's more than just the fact that we're eating something, but it represents a complete change in the way we would go about a meal. A person wouldn't go about a meal this way. So that's a greater impact. So the first two questions are pertaining to the specific mitzvos of the night with regard to achila, with regard to eating, the mitzvah of matzah, and there's a mitzvah of eating moror. Okay, b'zman hazeh, that mitzvah is the rabbanon, but that's what it's doesn't matter. So what? Shevuchah haleilos einon matbilim afilu pam echos. Haleilah zeh shtei pamim. Now it's talking about tibul. The Rashbat is learning a little bit differently. But he's saying that we don't have any set order. That's what's different. We don't do it even once. Meaning to say there's no protocol that you have to. But here, there's a protocol that you have to dip. And it has to be two. So again, we're highlighting the fact that everything that's being done, by the way, this you see from his explanation, that everything that we're doing is being done in a manner to differentiate the night, to highlight the fact that the night is different. So that's what the four questions take note of. I think, basically it seems to me that what he's saying is that it's informal. You sit down, you eat whatever you feel like eating. There's no rules and regulations pertaining to something like a dip. It's a... You can't say you do, you can't say you don't. It's up to the person and his mood. There's no set pattern on that. Yet tonight, we've established a pattern that you must have dips. And once you notice that, then you bring out every aspect of it. And in addition, it's also curious that there are two dips. But what's the significance in terms of the bigger picture? Each of the four so-called questions represents, as we said, the differentiation of the day. Now, of course, in the first two, you have the mitzvos. The mitzvah of achilas matzah, that's the first one. The mitzvah of achilas moror is the second one. Now, the third one is with reference to the two dips. But the category behind that, that is to say, there's no mitzvah to dip, per se. In the case of the first two, each one is a specific mitzvah, to eat matzah. And it has a tam, there's a reason for the mitzvah. We'll go into the tam ha-mitzvah later on, and moror. But here, it's not a separate mitzvah of dipping. There's no mitzvah to dip. But he's taking notice of the fact that we are engaged in dipping, but it's referring to the category. What's the category that dipping is connected to? What's the category that dipping is connected to? The category is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he's picking the dipping part. The dipping part has to do with this, what we said before, the educational philosophy, that to stimulate the interest of the child. So that incorporates the idea of the mitzvah of Sipur, and that the mitzvah of Sipur includes V'igadta Levincha, assuming that you have a child. But even if you don't have a child, one can achieve, fulfill V'igadta Levincha on a different level. The highest level is when you transmit it to your own child. But beyond that, it means to transmit it to someone who's lacking in the knowledge of the area. So even a stranger, someone else's child, or, of course, it's also better if it's a child. But ultimately, if you give it over to someone, that's why it's kind of like a night of Kiruv. If you enhance, give it over to someone who's really lacking in terms of the basics, or enhance their understanding of these things, so you are being Mekayim on a certain level, the V'higadta Levincha factor, even though it's not in the pristine form where it's your own child. So that's the idea of educating people about the events of this night via the arousal of curiosity, to make it into a real learning experience, not just to go through the motions, but to make it into a real learning experience. That's the third differentiation. That on this night, we're engaged in a real learning experience in which we're trying to transmit the story through the arousal of the curiosity. Interesting to note that all of the four questions. Now, let's just take up the last question, which is with regard to reclining. That on all other nights, every question over here has to make reference to the all other nights. Because whatever we're doing to the utmost of our ability to make the night different. So that all other nights have to be taken into consideration, in contrast to other nights. When, again, sometimes you sit, sometimes you lean, whatever. There's no formality to it. But tonight, again, there's another form. There's a formality. And that formality is reclining. Now, what's the significance of that, though? Why mention the reclining factor? What mitzvah does that connect to? As we said, the four questions have to do with the four basic mitzvos of the night. In order to answer this, you have to know what the purpose of reclining is. And the Rambam brings it down in Hilchas Chametz Matzah. It's tied into another aspect. There's many dimensions to the mitzvah of Sipur. And one of the dimensions is that the person is chayiv. The Rambam used the expression laharos es atzmo. Others say liros es atzmo. For our purposes, it doesn't make any difference at this point, because both agree. The person has to envision as though he himself received his freedom. That's the extent to which he has to identify with the events that he's describing. It's not talking about things that happen to others. It's talking about things that happen to us, because we're the direct beneficiaries of what happened. It's our story of freedom. You got to make it your own story of freedom. So you have to behave like a free person. So that's the reclining. It also includes the Dalet Kosos. That is, we're celebrating our own freedom. So that's the other dimension that's incorporated into the four. That as two mitzvos pertain to the achila, two of the questions rather pertain to the mitzvah of achila, and the last two deal with the other basic mitzvah, which is Sipur. And Sipur is accomplished, we're talking about the educational aspect of Sipur through arousing curiosity, and then the objective of the Sipur. The objective of the Sipur is that a person should realize that he himself was redeemed, and he demonstrates freedom. To demonstrate one's freedom via reclining is one of them. But that's the category that it refers to.